Anyone here like old sayings? Well, you know then that a half a loaf is better than none, right? Truthfully, it's still half a loaf. And I want the whole loaf. Wouldn't you, if you had your choice? Have you ever noticed that things that begin with the word half are usually bad? Half cooked. That's not so great, especially if it's pork or chicken, right? Or half-baked. Not appetizing in baked goods. And what about half-baked ideas? They don't usually end up well. Or half-done. That just means you're halfway finished with the job and you got the whole other half to do. Or halftime. So you're watching the game and it's halftime. What does that mean? It means lots of commercials, probably a bad halftime show. Think Eminem and Snoop Dogg, need I say more? Or half-life. Well, the only thing that has half-life, half-lives, are things that are radioactive, and those are not good. Or half-dead. Anyone ever said, you look half-dead? Is that a compliment, to be told you look half-dead? Or half-price. You go to the store, there's something half-price. Ooh, never buy the half-price meat at the grocery store. When it's half price, there's usually something wrong with it, right? They want to get rid of it. Or half gone, like my mind is half gone. Don't have to go there. Let's face it, anything with the word half in it is not a good thing. Putting that word half in front of another word makes it seem like so much less, like it's not quite. Almost, but can't quite get it together. Half of anything is not good. But of all the half things that we know of, I think the worst of them is the one we see all too often in ourselves or in each other or in our families or our churches or our communities. It wasn't on my list, but I'm sure you'll recognize it. The worst is half-heartedness. One of the worst things that can ever be said about us is that we did something half-heartedly. Anyone guilty of doing that at some point in their life, doing something half-heartedly? Who likes to get one of those half-hearted handshakes? You know, the one where someone just kind of reluctantly lays their cold, limp, wet hand in yours and does nothing? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Or how about a half-hearted compliment on your choice of clothing or cooking? Or your job performance makes you feel appreciated and respected and loved, doesn't it? What about being loved half-heartedly? There's a losing battle for you. Being loved, but only half-heartedly. I mean, where do you stand with a person who's only half-heartedly committed to you anyway? Now, if someone has no commitment or is totally committed, you know exactly where you stand. But half-hearted commitment, what do you do with that? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. You ever take your child or your spouse somewhere like the grocery store when they didn't want to go? Nothing but a struggle and a battle, right? And nothing that you say or do will make them any more pleasant to be with. You made them go where they didn't want to go, and you'll pay for it every step of the way. Nothing more annoying than a spouse or child who's with you half-heartedly, with no commitment. And in any organization, there's nothing worse than a member who is only half-heartedly committed to the cause. You can't count on them to be there for meetings or to help with their share of the work. You can't count on them to do a good job. You just can't count on them for anything. Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, Jeremiah would call it half-heartedness, I think. Ezekiel prefers to call it a heart of stone. Either way, they're both referring to the same serious heart condition that we all have. We've been living our whole lives with just half a heart. That's right, just half a heart, and one made out of stone at that. We're all half-hearted, if you will, at least when it comes to our relationship with God. Good news, though, folks. Very good news, because there is a cure for half-heartedness, and it comes with a 100% guarantee. It's called the New Covenant. Jeremiah goes on, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. The new covenant, paid for with the life of God's only Son. The new covenant, sealed in Christ's blood. The new covenant, a whole new way of doing things, unlike anything we've ever seen before. A whole new lifestyle, a new life. A whole new lease on life. Yes, folks, there is a cure for our half-hearted hearts of stone, and it's called the New Covenant. Think about it, a whole heart, a new heart. No more going through life impaired, no more going through life barely alive, no more being half-hearted or lukewarm about our faith in God. Through the New Covenant, we receive the gift of health and wholeness. It's through Jesus Christ that we receive that gift. And not in the future, not someday, but here and now, right when we need to be made wholehearted. Wholeness. Wholeheartedness. Something that we all need, out with the old and in with the new, I think Jeremiah would say. You know, we are so frail and delicate, you and I, even though we don't like to admit it. Our hearts so weak, so quick to anger, so slow to forgive, so vulnerable to what other people think of us, so ready to provide a list of other people's sins instead of looking into our own hearts, so unwilling to be merciful, so skillful at hiding from God, so ready to run and seek a cure, any cure for our half hearts except the real cure. Do you sometimes feel like you're leading just half a life, that you're half dead or half alive, depending, are you the optimist or the pessimist? Do you feel like you're living on half a heart? You know that feeling, just sort of not very interested in much of anything, maybe feeling a little overwhelmed with life, maybe frustrated or fed up, or just plain old tired, tired of life, tired of your life. It's whole life that God calls us to. It's a whole heart that God wants us to have. It's abundant and joyful life, a life rich in grace that God desires us to live, not the half lives that we're willing to settle for. I think that there's, for each of us, a word that God would like nothing more than to allow Him to write on our hearts. What is that word for you? What is keeping you from being wholehearted? What is the word that God would have you hear today? What word would God speak into your ear to carve into your heart that you need to hear right here, right now, today? Is it forgiveness or love or peace or joy? What are the things, the situations, the circumstances of your life that are keeping you from having a whole heart and living a whole life? What are the parts of your life that need to be healed or restored or repaired or forgiven or healed? Only your half heart knows the word that God wants to write there that you need to hear, to take to heart, to take to your heart, to change your heart once and for all. Remember Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Think about it. A God who loves me out of covenantal requirement and contractual obligation, those are legal terms. Well, that God who loves me on legal terms, I'm willing to try to love half-heartedly, but a God who chooses to love me in Jesus Christ, not out of obligation, not out of pity, not out of necessity, but a God who chooses to love me simply because he thinks I am the most wonderful and I am the most special person in the whole world. A God who reminds me that the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the covenant is love, and then sends his only son, who John says calls us friends, and who is willing to lay down his life for us. Well, that's a different story. The God who chooses to love me in Jesus Christ, well, that God I can, and that God I will love wholeheartedly. How about you? A new heart and a new spirit within you. That's the hope and the promise of the new covenant. Everything made good again, inside and out. You and me, new creations in Jesus Christ. Think about those flamingos, right? Living their best lives, pink and proud of it, for what they are from the inside. Jack London, the author of The Call of the Wild, once wrote, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy and permanent planet. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time." My brothers and sisters in Christ, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we are set free to live joyful new lives of gratitude and grace. In Jesus Christ, we are free to trade in our old half hearts of stone for new hearts of flesh once and for all. We are free to live our lives boldly and fully, wholly, radically, powerfully, as a magnificent glow full of mercy and full of grace and full of forgiveness. Amen.